Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So what are the current open container laws in the city?
Yeah, so through the Department of Permits and Inspections, we're going to have this conversation probably more in depth next week. I know we have something on the agenda for tomorrow's meeting, but we'll have someone come into committee next week so we can dive down into a little further. All those particular laws that restrict the containers, what you can use, where you can use them, things of that nature, and what times. I know you've seen, whether it be different areas of the city may be blocked off at times for street parties, things like that, so you see people out with doing that and the process for that, but also what it would take to make an open container in general.
Is that something you think could happen in Buffalo?
You know, it's so early on having the conversation. It's something I'd be willing to sit down and talk about for sure, you know, whether if you see it in other cities for sure. If you travel across the country, you see it. It's in cities that are really very successful when it comes to tourism, things like that. So maybe it's something we look at to try and help some organizations and some businesses, bottom line, for sure.
Have you heard about this from a lot of community members?
It's just kind of trickling in now, hearing from people. Over the years, you'll hear it from someone here and there, but nothing that is built to too much of a crescendo at this point. So again, we'll start having this conversation a little bit this afternoon in our caucus meeting, and then we'll really get into it more next week in our committees.
What do you see the pros and cons of it?
You know, like I said, whether it's something people might, who are looking around to travel a little bit, maybe it's something that they like to be able to take part in. If it can help certain entertainment districts, if that's a possibility, again, we'd have to look at those numbers and how whether it could be successful or not.
Any potential cons?
Well, yeah, I think if you're getting people out with open containers and maybe imbibe a little too much, or see maybe there should be some issues, but again, that's part of the conversation we'll have.
Councilman, it is likely that you will become the next acting mayor of the city of Buffalo when the mayor officially resigns and takes this job with OTB. What are your top priorities when you walk into that office on day one?
Well, there's a number of them. You know, again, I don't want to go too deep into it because as of right now, the mayor's the mayor. I just want to be clear about that. And the mayor is the mayor until he lets all of us know otherwise. And I don't know if that's happening for certain, and if so, when that will be. But much like my time on the council, you know, I want to try and make sure that we have a clean, safe city where kids are educated and there's economic opportunity awaiting them. But, you know, first and foremost, it's got to be our financial situation.
Well, and that was my next question. How do you manage all of these systems and opportunities with a $40 million deficit? What would be cut? What would stay?
Yeah. Well, that's what you've got to look at. You know, I think I have some ideas on how we can start to close the gap.
Anything in particular?
Again, out of respect to the mayor, who is the mayor, as I said, until he notifies anyone otherwise. But first, you got to look in our own operation as a city, first and foremost. What are we spending money on? How can we reduce maybe unnecessary spending, first and foremost? I don't think you can look to raise taxes or increase other revenues or fees or anything like that if you don't have your own house in order. So I think that's first order of business, is making sure that we're not overspending on certain things and that we're prioritizing what we need to prioritize.
So I guess bottom line here, the mayor has been running this operation for almost 20 years now, and as we've now seen come out through the woodwork, a number of organizations and agencies haven't necessarily been paying their due share. Like AMR, we're missing out on a couple of million dollars here, for instance. So what would your position be here, and are you critical of the mayor for not really saying the buck stops with me?
Yeah, well, I think it's tough for, you to use this example, right, AMR, and the fee that would be eligible to this, or payable to the city, if they were under contract. They weren't under contract, right? So I think that if I'm them, I probably wouldn't volunteer the fee either if we were out of contract. I would say that as a council member and sitting council president, any contract that came before the council, I would want to see those arrears paid, I can tell you that. But moving forward, I think it's part of a larger conversation that some of my colleagues and I have had about contract compliance and contract monitoring, and whether that should be housed in kind of one operation. I think it should be. You have different departments kind of handling their own contracts, and I think it should be centralized, possibly somewhere in a division of the law department, where you have a timer on these contracts and everyone knows someone in that department is keeping an eye on those at all times.
Right, and you guys also just hired an emergency manager to facilitate all of these emergency things. Is this something, an AMR contract, is that something that the emergency manager should be facilitating as opposed to the fire commissioner?
I think he should be certainly part of the conversations. Absolutely. It again, from where the way I look at it, I think those contracts should probably be negotiated out of a contract office somewhere in the law department with the assistance of those individual departments that it might be impacting. So in this instance, emergency management coordinator and fire commissioner, who's the head of the emergency medical services for the city.
Chris, when it comes to the whole situation, I know it's been speculated for a couple years now that the mayor would be leaving office, but you just took over as council president at the beginning of this year. Has this all been kind of just coming rapid fire at you? I mean, how have you been able to handle that?
No, I think the fact that I've been on the council 12 plus years now has helped. And like you said, there's been conversation or speculation about it for so long now. Kind of your mind kind of goes there a little bit, just, all right. And quite frankly, the fact that I was lucky enough to be voted in as council president by my colleagues, you have to understand that one of your responsibilities is to be prepared to step in as acting mayor should a vacancy occur. So, you know, by accepting that role, I knew it was a possibility. And so if the mayor does decide to accept a job and leave and create a vacancy, I'm prepared to step in day one.
In your 12 years as a city council member and working in the city of Buffalo, what has maybe been some of the bigger things that you've learned in your time that has kind of helped you prepare for this moment
when it comes to fruition?
I think the biggest thing is just how I've learned to deal with people and interact with people in the community in different communities across the city of Buffalo. In particular, this year as council president, getting across the city a little more, meeting more people, hearing about their perspective on things in the city of Buffalo, what's working for them, but more importantly, what's not working for them, and having those conversations and building those relationships with people.
Do you feel that maybe a change in the mayor office will be almost in a way a bit of a breath of fresh air for the city after 19, almost 20 years of, you know, one elected mayor? I mean, he's been elected every year, which, you know, obviously speaks volumes there, but do you feel that a change was a breath of fresh air in a way?
Not speaking to this one in particular, but I think in general, it can always be, you know, a fresh set of eyes on things, a new perspective on things can always be a good thing. I know some people are uncomfortable with change, things of that nature, but sometimes change can be a very good thing. And I, you know, sometimes when it comes to public office, a turnover in a seat, it can be a good thing.
Would you, sorry to interrupt, I just wanted to ask this one last question. Would you run for election after your term is up as acting mayor?
Like we just discussed, it's been council member, council president just in January. Now the potential of this happening quickly, I'm just trying to get my feet under me in case this happens and be prepared in case this happens, and that's something I would deal with down the road.
So you have no interest right now in being mayor, is that what I'm hearing?
I did not say that. I said what I would like to do is get situated here and figure it out from there.
And down the line, you would consider
sure.
being mayor?
Sure, of course.
Okay.